Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. After years of saving lives, property, and caring for his fellow firefighters and their families, Sioux Falls Fire Rescue Chief Jim Sedaris is getting ready to retire. He served with Sioux Falls Fire Rescue for more than 30 years. He joins us now from Sioux Falls. Jim Sedaris, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Let's go back to the beginning and tell me how old you were when you wanted to be a firefighter and what sort of drew you into the profession, or is that obvious?
I was a little kid at the time, and I mean like fourth grade small, and when I was in Boy Scouts, my only merit badge was firemanship. I took a tour of a fire station as part of that, and I met a brand new firefighter named Bob Ray, who we crossed paths with years later, and it was just something that I was kind of attracted to. It looked like a job that you were helping people, but you weren't doing the same thing every day. And and then later on, Bob Ray turned out was the, he didn't know it, but he was the guy that did my interview to get hired, and I worked for him, and So I believe kind of in that karma thing.
Yeah. Lots of little kids want to be a firefighter. Lots of little kids tour, the fire station and say, I could do that someday. But you went and did it. Was it because that was your only merit badge and didn't have a lot of other options? Or what? I'm just kidding.
I was a pretty simple kid. I just needed a target to shoot at. There were other things, but that just...
Right.
And then at the time, as crazy as this sounds, there was a TV show on called Emergency about firefighters. And I watched that, and my mom got me a book on firefighters called Report from Engine Company 82 about New York firefighters. And, boy, it just seemed like that was just kind of my DNA of all things. It was just a fit.
And people are still making TV shows and movies about the lives of firefighters. Was it? Has it been what you kind of expected it to be as a child? Was it as rewarding and fulfilling as you had hoped?
It really was. I thought there'd be a lot of fires in action, but a lot of times the biggest impact you had were on the simple calls that you didn't realize were the big incidents at the time. So we deal a lot with medical calls and working with people involving trauma with their family members. So that was almost as rewarding as the adrenaline rush of the fire part of it. Mm-hmm. So for me, it just all fit together. I really liked that it wasn't the same thing every day. People really needed your help. And when they were calling us, it's because things were too out of control for them to handle, and right. We were their last resort.
How do you keep that in mind? How do you train your firefighters or inspire colleagues and those who work for you that when people call you, they've run out of options?
Well, we look for who we hire first. So rather than trying to retrain people for that concept, we look specifically for skill sets. So to be a Sioux Falls firefighter, for example, we might start off with 500 applicants, and we're only going to hire 20. So it's a blistering look at our firefighters, from physical testing to see how physically ready they are for the job. They go through testing, just analytical testing. We do psychological. We have a psychologist actually do a psychological profile on our firefighters, to look for those kind of qualities that are, I want to help people rather than the glory of the job.
Right.
We do criminal background checks to make sure we get the right people. So when we finally get to the end, we kind of know what we're getting already, and that really helps. And most of our new firefighters now have, almost all of them have either college degrees, master's degrees. They've been paramedics, or they were firefighters in other cities, or they were in the military, and those seem to be a good fit for us. They have that attitude already of, I'm built to help people, not seek other things.
In more than 30 years, some of the fundamentals are always the same, and I imagine a whole lot changes. Let's talk about technology and how that sort of changed the work of a firefighter.
Well, when we're understanding more the risks of being a firefighter with the exposure to the carcinogens that we never really realized. We're in fires and all that smoke on our gear, what's called off-gassing, meaning it dissipates. That smell you smell in the air is actually carcinogens coming off gear. Well, we used to not really pay much attention. We would put our gear next to our bed at night so we could get ready faster. Now we're really looking more at the science of prevention and keeping our firefighters much more safe. We used to ride. When I started, my spot was on the hanging onto the back of a fire truck, you know, like you see in the little kids' books.
Right.
That's just not a very. I mean, I was now going, wow, if I was the chief and someone said we're doing that, that's just kind of craziness. But at the time, it was just a traditional place, and it worked for how we operated. So some of those things, just like, oh, wow, we could probably do better. And now we're looking at, although we value our traditions, we're also looking at what's the best practices for our operation, including our medical side of the house, fire side of the house, and everything else we do.
Let's talk about the folks who are coming in and you're recruiting and who are passing the tests. Have they changed? Have the new recruits changed over the years versus, say, 30 years ago?
I think that the core element in all those people are the same. They all really have a desire to help people. They're willing to, is I know this sounds kind of Pollyanna-ish, but they're really willing to give their life to save somebody else without a moment's hesitation. That hasn't changed. What has changed is that because of the competitive nature of being a firefighter, where when I was hired, I think we tested like 80 people, and now we're in the hundreds that we're testing. The process is more competitive, so we're seeing people that are much more have a higher level of education than we ever saw before, are coming a little more mature because they're a little older than they probably started 30 years ago. It's not uncommon to see people in their 30s starting, and they're bringing a unique skill set that they probably didn't have back when I started. A lot of people were, you know, young guys, maybe out of the military, and this is a job where now it's more of a career path that people are looking to, and they realize that this is a real calling, and they want to do it for the rest of their lives.
One of your roles has always been to sort of deal with the media and have those conversations that where you get to sort of state the obvious, whether it's using caution, turning off your grill and outdoor fires, right, and all these kinds of things. Do you ever get tired of those conversations and wonder when people are just going to know that every year at this time the same sort of accidents happen with fireworks or what have you?
Well, after 30 years, you kind of would think so, but you know what? Over 30 years, there's probably people that weren't even born when I started who are now just, now they're having kids and they're going, oh, you're right. I should really watch my kids with those sparklers. So I'm reaching, you know, a different generation that we weren't before. And I got this, I had one of our firefighters come up to me and say, hey, chief, guess what? It was his birthday. He said, I was born the same year you got hired. And of course, the next firefighter says, you know, hey, I wasn't even born yet. So seeing that generational thing, those messages are constant that, we do have a lot of families moving into Sioux Falls that just don't realize in the blink of an eye, your life can change forever.
Right.
And that's what we have to remind people. So, no, I don't mind it. And it seems like it'd be kind of like, oh, we're going to do the same thing again. But just have to remind yourself that, hey, it's a whole new crop of families that we're talking to. And right, they're my customers. You know, they're my part of my family, too, indirectly.
Yeah. Tell me about some of those days that really stick with you. When you look at retirement, what are those days that you're never going to forget?
There's a lot of them, and a lot. And I told someone else this too. And you know, I think this is firefighters, cops. I think a lot of the times, the ones you really think about that kind of jump into your brain when you really don't want them to, are some calls that are just really you wish you could forget. I don't know how to explain it other than we see a lot of trauma. We see a lot of, especially over a 25-year career, you just see a lot of things that the average person never believes happens. We see trauma, we see suicides, we see pretty much the gambit of things that you kind of want to really forget. The calls that are kind of those really, and sometimes we sit around and if I'm with guys I've worked with, we'll share those stories of, geez, do you remember when we were on the interstate? Holy smokes, I still remember that. But it's hard to share those with people that have never experienced that kind of a thing. Hmm. But the calls that you know, I share with my family are like, I got a call at home saying, hey, we got to do a rescue. Can you come and help us do this rescue? Because one of my specialties, I really like doing rescue. Well, a gentleman was supposedly sleepwalking on the top of Sid's liquor store and fell down the chimney, which was like 6 feet high, and was trapped inside the chimney, now on the bottom at the basement of Sid's liquor, and we couldn't figure out how to get him out. That was a pretty kind of a wacky call. It was just more of a kind of a bizarre call. Hmm. I had one call where we got a call because someone had dumped a bag of money into the Sioux River, and we're picking up these silver certificates from like the 1940s and 1950s. Wow. And it was like $15,000 floating in the river. Just kind of like those unexpected things that happen. there's a lot of calls. They just kind of run together, you know, especially over my career. Just kind of some of the things you see just when we go into a lot of, we're dealing more and more with people that have mental issues or housing issues that sometimes you meet with them. And it's almost kind of, you just almost know them on a first name basis because you see them so often. Hmm. And although they're struggling, you know, it's kind of fun that you can, you know them and they know you, and you'll see them on the street and you just say, hey, how's it going? We kind of, in a way, our firefighters and myself become family with people we really don't know. It's like this large extent of family that a lot of times they'll recognize us, and it's just nice knowing that we're helping people.
Yeah. Did you rescue the man from the chimney?
We did. We were going to tear the chimney out. What happened was he was stuck in there like over the weekend.
Oh,
and people came to work, and they thought the building was haunted because they could hear him yelling for help through the wall, coming through the wall. So they thought the building might have been haunted, and then they figured out there's someone in there. We were going to tear out the chimney at the bottom, but we were worried it was going to collapse the building. So we actually had to raise him up straight up through the chimney. It just took us quite a while to get it done, but yeah, we did. We got him out, and then our friends in blue, the Sioux Falls Finest, took him to his new home at probably up on the hill for he's actually trying to break into the business.
Right. Save his life and then pass him along for the consequences. Yeah.
Well, we do that a lot. We work closely with the police department.
Right. What have you learned over your career about people, about humanity, that you didn't really know?
Well, I think there's a lot of things I've learned. When dealing with people in high-stress situations, people kind of boil at different temperatures, and you need to watch that. Some people, under stress, nothing really fazes them. They're just, it takes really a lot to shake them. And there's other people that minor things, and they are losing their temper, losing their cool, can't think straight. Mm-hmm. So you really have to size up the situation very quickly. And so you learn to deal with people differently. There's not a cookie-cutter approach to dealing with people. And another thing I've learned is really, like with our organization, we have a fairly large organization, which means we have a lot of firefighters and their families. And trying to work more with their families to let their kids know and their wives know and their spouses know that their job that they're doing is vital to the city of Sioux Falls. Mm. So we're encouraging more of family activities to say, hey, this is what your spouse is doing really is making a difference, because sometimes they don't hear that at home.
You know,
they just they don't realize the difference that we're making every day. So we're trying to, communicate more out to our big fire family, that I call it, of exactly what's going on during the week. Every week there's something going on, and how vital not only their firefighter's role is, but the family role is, because if things are going good at home, you know, we have happy firefighters that can be engaged with work. If things aren't going so good at home, we might have a distracted firefighter, and that can make for problems. So we like that, happy life, both at the firehouse and at home, and anything we can do to help can make a difference.
Are there ways that you do that specifically to support the families and the outside, the workday life that that will help make a better firefighter?
Oh, we do. What we do is try and do like quarterly, you know, every couple months we'll do a movie night. So what we'll do, it's kind of, it's odd we started doing this, but what we'll do is we'll bring all the off-duty kids in with their families, and we'll, you know, show a movie, and we'll have popcorn so that the families meet the other families, and they'll realize, you know, hey, how do you deal with, you know, your spouse being gone 24 hours when the water heater breaks? Well, here's what we do, and they build up that network, realizing we're all facing, in some cases, the same challenges that other families are facing. Also do call it the wows of the week. So every week I kind of hear what's going on in the department. People email me stuff, put together a little newsletter that goes out to the department, but it also goes out to the families so that they might see, oh, look what my dad did. He did this kind of cool thing, and that made a difference. And a lot of times I'll even hear guys come home, they'll say they came home and the wows are up on the refrigerator, you know, so that their kids realize that their parent is a hero and is making a difference, and they have something to be proud of, rather than, oh, my dad's gone again because he's working a 24-hour shift.
Yeah.
They realize that sacrifice is really helping someone else in the community.
Is this a difficult family and career to leave behind for the next stage?
You know, it's starting to look more and more like it might be. I know these guys that I've hired. One young kid, I went to school with my daughter. I won't mention his name, but I hired him, and I was there in his first big fire. I mean, it had the potential to be really bad, and he was all excited. And all I could think of was, dude, you don't really know what you're getting into. And I had to go up to him and kind of just say, hey, here's what's going on. You got to really get your head in the game here, because things could go bad fast. Stay with your captain, stay with your crew, because it was at Morrell's. And so I've known a lot of these people. I've known their entire careers. So it will be difficult, but I think it's a good time. The one thing I like is the people we've hired are so good that at a time really where the public is just thirsty for good leadership throughout the community, our firefighters are everywhere. They're involved with different committees, they're involved with different organizations. So I think it's a good time to go. It's a good time for the organization. Organizations get better with every new leader. And I think the organization's set up now for the next big jump and doing great stuff. It's I'm kind of excited to see what happens, but I don't think you're ever ready to go. But you kind of say, you know what, after 34 years, I'm kind of ready.
What's your message for whoever comes in next, the next leadership? What do you want to say to them?
I would say trust your people, trust your gut, because things happen really fast. I would tell them that hopefully they have a good friend in the fire department who's smarter than they are and will tell them what they need to hear.
Yeah.
Because once you get the helmet, that big white helmet that says chief on it, a lot of times you'll never hear the truth again. People will agree with you because they're worried about telling you the truth.
Right.
So if you can have, and I have friends throughout the organization that different ranks, all the way from firefighter all the way to my number two people, that I trust them enough and they trust me enough that I won't, you know, tell their names if I hear something, just to say, hey, chief, we got to really watch this thing because this is a bad deal. Or, hey, you know, it'd be nice if we did this. I would say really develop and nurture those relationships, because you're as big as we are, you need to hear that truth throughout the organization. Sometimes if you think you're going to hear without that, you're naive. It's just because you're anointed chief doesn't mean that all the knowledge of the universe is dumped into your head.
Right.
You really need a lot of help.
What's next for you?
Well, I accepted the position as the executive director of the South Dakota Healthcare Coalition. What that group is, it's a group across the state that's helping hospitals, long-term healthcare facilities. There are 17 different healthcare organizations or types of healthcare to be ready for the new changes the government's mandating, so that they're prepared for any disaster. What they saw in Hurricane Sandy is that a lot of the healthcare facilities, including hospitals, weren't ready to be self-sufficient. So they're they're now ramping that up. And it's a nice way to take the skills I've learned, because I've seen just about any kind of, knock on wood, you know, I still got 2 months to go, but I've seen just about everything that can happen to a business. So I can share that real world experience of, here's why you need to be ready. Here's how you make emergency plans. Here's how you step by step meet all the new standards. And I'm going to be working with a lot of new people, but people still have that same, I'm looking to do something bigger than myself.
Yeah.
People that say, I want to help others. And so it's going to be, they're not going to be probably as big and brawny as my firefighters are, but they'll be that silk. They still have that core essence of people that I like to hang out with.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, taking a look back and taking a look forward, Jim.
Great. Thank you very much. Have a safe day.